It is certainly a joy to be in this place on this day, to be reminded that God is indeed the God of all of creation and the God of our world. For we know that we need God's grace and we need God's mercy, because our world is certainly broken and suffering and hurting. And we need God's grace and we need God's word to sustain us and to make us new. So I invite you this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn to Mark. The Gospel of Mark, will be reading from the fourth chapter as we hear God's word and hope that it spurs in us new life, that it breathes in us new life. So I invite you, we'll read Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, a parable that Jesus told. Hear these words. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once the sower goes with his sickle, because the harvest has come." This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for the opportunity we have to come in this place, to know that your Spirit is among your people. For you indeed promise where two or three are gathered, there you are also. And so we are thankful that you are present among us. And we are thankful for your word. And we ask that your word would be planted in our hearts, that it might grow and bear fruit in our broken world. O Lord, allow my words to be your words, and my heart your heart. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. You probably, like me, remember in elementary school taking maybe a little bean or a seed and being given either a plastic bag with a wet paper towel in it or a little paper cup with some dirt, and putting that seed in the dirt. I remember when we did this when I was in elementary school being fascinated by how you could stick a seed on this little piece of wet paper or in the dirt, and within a few days after putting it in the sunlight and watering it, you would begin to see this little plant growing in your cup or in your bag. I remember being fascinated by this process. As I was thinking about my sermon for this week, I had talked to another individual, one of my colleagues, another pastor, and he was telling me about the time when he also did this same kind of experiment in elementary school. And he was given a little paper cup and a seed and put that seed in the cup. However, after 3 or 4 days, his teacher noticed that his seed was not growing. All the other kids' seeds had sprouted out of the cup except for his. She went over apparently and checked his cup. The dirt was moist. It wasn't overly wet. It was sitting in the sunlight as it was supposed to. So she asked my friend, Justin, "Have you been doing anything with your seed?" And Justin said, "Well, every day I go and check out to make sure it's growing." "Well, how are you doing that?" "Well, I go and I take the cup and I dump it out on my desk and check to see if the seed has sprouted." He was fascinated by the process of how a seed develops over time. He wanted so badly to know how it all worked, to see every moment of that seed take root in that little cup. And yet, his own curiosity prevented the seed from growing. Jesus compares the growth of the kingdom of God to this process of a seed developing, being planted in the ground. Jesus often compared the growth of the kingdom of God to planting. He would tell parables, if you will, right? If you remember, the word parable that we get in English comes from a Greek word, parabole, which meant to set side by side. And so Jesus would set side by side the kingdom of God and its growth and its movement in the world to many different things that were common to his audience. And in particular, the sowing of the seed. If you back up just a little bit in the Gospel of Mark, he tells another famous parable that we've probably all heard before, where a farmer goes out to sow his seed, and he casts some over here and some over there and some over here, and some lands on the path and some lands on the rocky soil and some land in the good soil. And yet, there's one place where it grows in the good soil. Jesus often compared everyday life experiences with the kingdom of God. And in particular, the development of a seed. And Jesus says in our scripture today that the kingdom of God is like someone who goes out with a handful of seeds, they plant them in the ground, and the seeds sprout and grow. Though that individual goes to sleep, though that person wakes up the next day and goes to the grocery store, though they go to their job or their career, though they may not even think about the seed, because the seed has been planted, it eventually grows. It is almost as if the growth of the seed is completely out of the sower's control. In fact, Jesus seems to emphasize this point when he says that the earth produces of itself, all by itself. In fact, Jesus' parable seems to emphasize the lack of control of the one who plants the seed in determining when the seed will sprout and grow. It's always interesting when you begin preparing for a sermon. Joe will probably testify to this. You never know where your sermon will take you during the week. You'll find yourself reading very random things and very random books, trying to figure out what God is wanting to say to us. This week, I found myself going back to sixth grade, learning about seed germination and how seeds grow, how seeds sprout. Did you know that within a seed, the entire structure of a plant is contained? Though it's really small and really tiny, the entire structure of a seed or of the plant is there. Here you have one of these helicopter maple seeds, right? We call them helicopters. We used to, you know, you go and throw them out. They're still fun. I still enjoy doing it myself. But you can see that within the seed casing is the very beginnings of the plant. Its root structure, its leaf structure is all there within the plant. And within the seed, also, there are chemicals stored. There's food source stored within the seed. So that when the seed is planted, it can't produce energy all on its own to begin with. But when the right conditions are met in the environment around it, it begins to draw on that source of energy, and it begins to push its roots out, using up that energy and pushing that leaf structure up out into the sky so that it might produce its own energy after a while. But it only happens when the environment is perfect for the seed. The germination of the seed only occurs when all the conditions around it are right. In fact, one thing I learned as reading about seed growth was that many seeds can stay dormant for years upon years upon years until the right amount of water is in the soil, the right amount of sunlight is there, the right warmth of the ground is there, the right amount of oxygen in the soil is there. And when all those things are perfect, the seed will germinate. The casing will swell. It will pull off that energy within the seed, and it will begin to grow. Yet the determination of when the conditions are right is left up to the seed's own genetic code. The seed knows when the time is right. Though someone may plant the seed, though someone may provide water and provide sunlight and provide healthy soil for the seed, it will only germinate when its internal time clock determines that it is time to grow. Germination is determined by the seed's structure itself. In Jesus' parable today, he provides for us both a warning and a blessing to those of us who are working in the soil of God's kingdom. He warns those of us who always want to be in control, right? We all sometimes like to be in control, I would imagine. We like to see the process of the seed growing. Just like my friend Justin, who kept dumping out his cup. We want to be a part of it all. We want to make things happen. We want to be eager beavers right in there working and causing the seed to grow. And yet Jesus warns us that at times we have to allow seeds to grow on their own. We can't force something to happen. We can't overestimate our own importance. Because no matter how hard we try, in the end, we cannot make the kingdom of God grow by ourselves. Rather, all we can do is sow seeds, Jesus reminds us. All we can do at best is to provide a healthy ecology for growth. But in the end, the rest is up to God. Ironically, in today's age of pluralism, religious pluralism, we are often on the side of not wanting to be the sower in the first place, right? Religion is kind of messy these days. There's so many other options out there, so many other beliefs out there. And we would rather probably take a step back from sowing seeds, of getting in anybody's business, of telling them what we believe and how we believe and what is important. So in fact, some of us read Jesus' parable and are a little bit comforted by this, right? Oh, I don't have to get involved in any of this. This is great. I can just step back, not worry, not do anything. But Jesus doesn't say we have no responsibility. Jesus indeed reminds us that we play a role in sowing seeds. It may not be large, but we have responsibility. Just like the one who goes and sows seeds, we too must go and sow seeds for the kingdom of God. We must continue to preach and to serve, to seek justice, to introduce people to God's gracious presence through His mercy. And we must also tend to the ecology of this place. Now, when you think about the word ecology, what do you think about? Make it interactive. Ecology is not just a little piece, is it? But ecology focuses on the whole, does it not? The whole environment around it. To have a seed to grow, it needs a healthy ecology. Good soil, sunlight, water, oxygen. In our own congregation, we can tend to the ecology of this place, to the relationships that we have with one another, to the ways that we reach out to one another when we hear of tragedy or concern or brokenness in another family's life or a person's life. We can tend to the way that we form our minds by reading and studying the scriptures with one another. We can tend to the way that we love one another. We can develop a healthy ecology. So that when seeds are planted in the lives of those who may enter this place or those who may encounter us out in the world, that there is good soil for it to grow and to be a healthy plant. At most, though, all we can do is sow seeds and build a healthy ecology. And the rest, Jesus tells us, is up to God's grace. Though the warning of the parable is not to overestimate our importance, and though we are called to continue to sow and cultivate seeds in the lives of others and to build a healthy ecology in this place, in the end, the process of growth is left up to God's grace. You remember I told you that in a seed, it contains all that is necessary to produce a plant. When we sow seeds of God's love, they contain all that is necessary to transform lives in other individuals. God has given us great responsibility to sow, and yet God is the one at work behind all of our sowing to build a much greater and healthier kingdom. It is all up to God's grace. Jesus reminds us that the kingdom grows in very hidden and mysterious ways, often independent of our efforts. That God is the one working beyond our own ability and often our own inability to grow the kingdom of God. God is active in the world, Jesus reminds us, subtly working where seeds have been planted, though they may rely dormant for years. Starting a process of germination so that lives are transformed. It is God's unmitigated, gracious movement that takes our feeble efforts and causes a great harvest to burst forth. Martin Luther, the great Protestant church reformer, once talked about the power of the word spoken. He said that on Sundays, I get up and I preach the word. And then afterwards, and I don't endorse this, I go home and I drink a beer and I sit down and I watch. I watch to see how God will move in the world. He knew the power of the word. the word was sufficient enough to change people's lives. That the gospel itself being lived in the world was sufficient enough because God was working even beyond what he could do or what he could say. In a world that is broken and in need of God's grace, we as the people of God must realize and trust that God is out in the world moving among us, causing growth in mysterious and subtle and often unforeseen ways. My granddad likes to tell a story when he was a kid. He and his two brothers, Don and Jim, were tasked with planting pumpkin seeds around the corn patches at the family farm. And so they were given the bag of seeds from, I guess it would be my great-grandfather, to go and to plant these seeds one day. However, being 12 or 13-year-olds, they had much bigger and better plans. They wanted to go fishing instead of planting these pumpkin seeds. So they decided that rather than obeying their father, they would go and hide these seeds and then go and fish. Well, they scouted out the place, they scouted out the homestead, and they found this huge rock. And they decided that they would throw the bag of seeds under the rock and that they would come back later in the day and that they would plant the seeds. Well, as you can imagine, they forgot those seeds. And within a week, their dad came by and said, "I saw a miraculous thing today. I saw pumpkin vines growing out from under a rock." Would you all know anything about that? "No, I don't know. That's God's miracle." Even he could grow pumpkin vines from under the rock. Even God can grow pumpkin vines from under the rock. Even when conditions are poor, when soil is unhealthy, when people terrorize others, God can even grow the kingdom from under rocks. From under rocks, God can dry every tear and cause fallow ground to become rich. From under the rocks. So let's not hesitate. In a world so desperately in need, to go and sow seeds. For even as we sleep, God is working to make all things new. Thanks be to God. Amen.